All right, I want y'all to imagine this. Imagine yourself at a park between Long Beach, San Gabriel, Arcadia, and here in Azusa. And we all show up at this park, and you show up there and you're like, man, I don't know, like more than half of these people. You start introducing yourself. And as you like meet more people, you find like, oh, these groups of people are connected with Ethan and Jen and Selma House. And then this group of people you find is connected with Anthony and Brandon Roots Church. You're like, oh, and Rich. And then you start finding out the names of like some other churches. And you're like, who are all these people? And then you'd be like, oh, these are all churches that are actually connected together as you begin to move through the crowd of hundreds of different people. And I think that's the direction that God is sending us, is as we send out teams and as we build relationships and see more people come to know Jesus, like we're going to see about, you know, hundreds of people begin to surface within our networks of churches. And as you look at this scripture in Romans 16, there's this list of all these different people, and yet they were all interconnected through relationship. So the idea is that in Rich Church, our DNA, and hopefully the DNA of everyone that we get to journey with for a season, it's the idea is sending for multiplication. So, you know, the idea, I mean, people are like, oh, I just want to keep everyone here and keep our best people and just grow something big. But when I read scripture and I look at what God is doing amongst us, I think what God is saying is like, send your best, like give away so that other people can receive what they have. And so next week, if you come back next week, if you're here next week, like we're going to be a little bit smaller than this week, because this week we're sending out, you know, six people with some college students the other week. And it's like, okay, Jesus, like we're doing this by faith and sacrificing and sending, like who are the next people that you want to join us for this season? So some leaders will go, and then some leaders will continue to stay for God's overarching purposes for his kingdom. All right, I'm not going to read Romans 16, 1 through 18. I don't want to butcher the names, but I'll say Chloe did really good. She like aced every single name when she read it. I was very impressed. Her Greek was amazing. But the overarching idea is we will just move through. I'll just say the verses sections we're in. So like in verses 1 through 5, you look at Paul's letter to the church in Rome. And from my understanding is that up to this point, Paul had not been to Rome yet. But he would be there later on in his life before he got executed in that season. So Paul was writing to the church in Rome of all of these relationships that he was connected with. So he begins to name all these different relationships. Did you notice the first one he named? It was a great name. It was Phoebe. We got our own Phoebe here, right? And she's in the church in Centuria. So you already got this church in Rome, you got this church in Centuria that's connected, and you know what he named is a female leader. So it's really interesting is all the people he named, first he named a female leader, which I think shows the importance of female leadership in the kingdom of God and in the church. And then next you got Priscilla and Aquila, who Paul had connected with on his missionary journeys. And did you notice what was written about them? The church that meets in their home. So Aquila and Priscilla, they actually had a church that met in their home. And remember, he's writing to the church, the capital C church in Rome. But as you begin to make your way through, you're beginning to see there's actually multiple churches that he's writing to. It's not just one, it's one church, capital C, but there's actually a whole network of churches that are linked together through relationship with Paul. So one of the things that you're like, Jared, what do you do during your week? You do some of these things. One of the things I do is there's established church planters and revitalizers. So revitalizers like people who go into a church that's dead or dying, and then they pastor it back to life. Or legacy church pastors, kind of like traditional church pastors. Part of my role in the kingdom is to actually train them to do disciple making and multiplication. So I have 8 guys currently in 3 different cohorts with another cohort starting up probably next month. Of meeting with them weekly to train them, actually train them in the exact same thing that everybody else has gone through, that's gone through discipleship, but they learn to integrate it in their different church contexts. And it's cool to see them take the tools, contextualize them, and begin to see fruit for new people coming to know Jesus, baptisms, and some even thinking about church planting and maybe even getting their first church planter and training in their context, the church planter in residency. And so as I've been working through this with them for the past, some of them it's almost a year, some it's been like 6 months, some 4. But what we're going to create is called a DMM Alliance. So a disciple-making movement alliance. And so it's going to be these alliance of churches that are already established that want to do disciple-making movement, the DMM, throughout Southern California. So we're actually going to network churches together that are already established that want to do DMM. So the idea is we're going to create a DMM alliance. And so you can already see that there's another type of network that God is creating through what we're doing here. And the idea is that we're coming around this vision that I feel like God has given us is to plant 100 plus multiplying churches. So he wants us to plant a church that multiplies. And I would say multiplication is more than one. So instead of addition, 1 plus 1, I would say 2 would be multiplication at minimum. And he wants us to do that 100 times. So there's no way I can necessarily myself or everybody here plant 100 churches that can do that. But if we have all these teams throughout Southern California that say, yes, we want to plant 100 plus multiplying churches, let's go after this crazy vision and see what Jesus wants to do and how he wants to do it. We're gonna see these network of churches and relationships begin to emerge that spread throughout all of Southern California. Then you get into verses 6 through 16, you got a whole bunch of other crazy names that you're trying to pronounce. But did you notice this one? It was interesting. Epaphras. He was the first believer in the province of Asia. So if you look at the province of Asia, right, it's going to be this huge region, a ton of people. But there's always the first person you lead to Jesus that helps you start what you're doing as you start a new church. So for Paul, when he went into the region of Asia, it was Epaphras was his first person that he led to Jesus that helped him start all these networks of churches. So there's always the first one that Jesus will send to you. So I'm thinking about Jaden and Colby here. Like, who is going to be your Epaphras that God sends you? Who's going to be that faithful person who stands with you as you guys build out? We're praying that person in. Then you got Mary. She worked hard for the benefit of other people, right? So there's someone that's going to be your guys' Mary that's going to come. It's going to work hard for the benefit of others. Then you got Andronicus and Junia, who they were in prison with Paul, right? So the people are going to suffer with you through the hard stuff. Then you got a list of Paul's friends. And did you see Apelles and believers who met in their household, or there's a household of, you said it well, Chloe, the Aristobulus, that one, right? So you see another household of people gathering together, another church. Then you got Herodian and the believers in the household of Narcissus. So there's another household that's named there. There's a whole bunch of other names. And you got Rufus and his mom, who was like a mom to Paul. We were talking in our DBS group. I just thought that was so interesting that Paul had a female mentor, right? So Paul had a mentor in his life who was a female who poured into him and invested in his life. And there's a bunch of other names. And then did you catch this? All the churches of Christ send you their greetings. So think about all the other churches that Paul's connected with that he's telling them about the church in Rome. And they're saying, hey, tell them what's up. And so then Paul says, hey, what's up from all these other churches? So you can see there's this huge network of churches that's connected with Paul. And so that's kind of what we're starting to do. Ethan, Anthony, and I the other week had the opportunity to go down to in San Diego. We were like pretty much at the border, which is pretty cool, down in Chula Vista area. And what's that?
We almost went to the other
side. I know. It's like, no turn back if you go past this point. Ah, get out of here. Yeah, I could literally see the border crossing from my hotel window. It was cool. You got to eat on the border. It was like the greasiest burrito that Anthony has ever eaten, and pull grease on the bottom. He had a chicken burrito, and he was like expecting like rice and beans, and it was just chicken all the way through with some guacamole. It was a chicken burrito. Burrito de pollo. It looked pretty good. So we went down there, and we got trained through Exponential, the Reproducing Network Accelerator. So the whole point of it is how do you plant churches and networks, and how do you multiply those networks of churches? So the vision that we've been talking about, me, Ethan, and Anthony, is all of us actually becoming a church of churches. So it's not just like, hey, we're sending you out, good luck, but how do we stay in relationship? How do we stay tethered together like we see when we read this part of Paul's letter? All these churches were networked together. They weren't alone. They were a huge connection together that stayed strong together in Jesus' name. So the idea is that we're actually building a network of churches. And then when Jaden and Chloe start up, well, they're already in it, but we're going to be a network of churches together. And then we've already done some conversations, but you'll see that part of Meredith and I's role and our larger team's role is we're actually going to continue to support them. So for example, like Ethan and I, we've met weekly for a year, which has been awesome. And we're actually going to go to monthly. So we're going from weekly to monthly. And then we're going to actually have a team once a month connect for the different planters and stuff like that. So the idea is that everybody continues to get support and care as they're discipling others in the context of church planting. And then it frees up more of our time to disciple the next set of people that God has for us. So pretty much nobody goes at it alone, and we all stay connected together. So when I shared that, imagine yourself at a park with all these hundreds of people, and you're finding out there's a ton of different churches connected. That's the idea, is that that's what's going to start happening as we network our churches together. You'll hear about other churches that are planting, and then once it gets down to the third and fourth generations of church plants, which means a church plants a church plants a church plants a church, I'll have no idea who these people are. I'll be like, hey, it's awesome, you plant another church like three down, like that's great. Just now implement the support system that we have for each church that we're going to plant. So we're starting a network of churches, a church that plants churches together. And then as you wrap up verses 17 through 19, Paul names his relationships in a network of churches, and he gives one warning in this whole thing. What was the one warning that he gave? Warning against what? What was it? It's actually division. Yeah. So he said one thing to look out for is division, because division destroys God's intended purposes. You ever had those thoughts about someone else, you just didn't like them, whether it was like, I don't know, another believer or like a church leader or your employer or your spouse? Like when that stuff comes through, those thoughts are trying to cause division. Because if division can get in relationships, it breaks a relationship apart. Because if you look at Paul's, this part of his letter as a network of churches, if say they're all connected by strings, if division is scissors and Satan can use those to cut the strings, then he cuts the power grid of all the churches together, and then that thing can actually die out. And so unity is the most important thing that Paul begins to end with. And if you look about these people who are causing divisions, I mean, one of the main things it says, it's contrary to the teachings of God's word, contrary to the teachings of the gospel, of who Jesus is. And if you look at who they are in their character, people who really seeking out their own interests. In the end game, it's all about them. It's how that they can benefit. But when you read that last section there of verses 1 through 19, all those people benefited other people. It was all for the other people, but the divider, it's all for themselves. They want to make a name for themselves. They want to have control and selfish influence. So when the control starts creeping up, be aware of those things. And if you ask the question, like, where does all this division come from? If you read to the end of the chapter in verse 20, Paul says, "And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." So he's actually saying all that division is actually coming from Satan trying to divide the church and destroy it. But when we remain firm in Jesus and who he is and we're obedient to his word, Paul says in Romans 16:20 that actually the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet, that you'll have victory through Jesus. So the work of unity is the highest priority among churches networked together. So our highest priority as we continue to plant churches and see them multiply is actually unity. That's why we take so much time in relationship together. Is because when you spend time together and you have shared experiences, it builds trust. So when you see the shared experiences, like the camping trip that we did, God, that was super intentional. Because I planned a camping trip with my son, Ander, just me and him. And I was looking at it in the San Clemente, because we're going to go there again. I had to pick a different day. But I looked at the campsite we had, and I was like, that campsite is a crazy miracle. There is no way. Because I looked at all the reservations, it's blacked out forever. Like, there's just like no way to get that campsite. And where it was positioned and everything, I'm like, this was totally a Jesus gift to us to be able to have this campsite. It was so cool. So the idea is like creating those experiences, those shared experiences around the campfire and walking at the beach and playing and hanging out, and me and Meredith beating everybody at cornhole. I mean, it's so awesome. Right? It builds trust in the end. It builds trust, because if you can trust the people that you're doing life with, that you're planting churches with, then you're going to remain together bound by the love of Jesus and the bond of peace by the Holy Spirit. So as we put all this together, I think here's what it comes down to for some of us. I think some leaders are called to stay. Like some leaders are called to stay here long term because we are a church ourselves in Rich, right? And then some leaders are called to go. We're called to send leaders that will start new churches. And I don't determine any of that. That's not my role. Jesus, all he simply says is, he says, you make disciples. And I say, yes, Lord. And then he's the one who determines what the call is on their life as they discern that call. And as we get to speak into what we're seeing God doing in their lives and help confirm that call for them. So what's funny is, you know, we have our like church planter and training like process that we do. We take people through this year or 2 year process. And then I'm finding we have some like accidental pregnancies, right? That I joked about earlier, like Jaden and Chloe are going to start a church. But here's the whole thing I'm beginning to understand what God is doing. It's the average disciple can plant a church. Like, it doesn't take anyone who's special. It just takes someone who's willing to be discipled and say, yeah, I'll disciple others and I'll group them up and we'll all do it in Jesus' name. So I hope that as a church, we also see like there's a specific church planter and training process that we have that people are called to join us for a season and we will intentionally send them out. And then God will send us people who just join our family and get discipled. And they're like, oh, hey, I'm supposed to plant a church. And we're like, hey, you, that's awesome. How can we help you get that off the ground? So the Holy Spirit's the one who builds it all. He's the one who designs it. He's the one who brings people and gets them connected. When we prayed at 9:30, one of the observations I had is like, if you look at Enrich, this thing is all built by divine appointments. Like, we could go around the circle and how everyone got connected. I literally pretty much did zero recruiting. It was all fasting and praying and then watching the Holy Spirit create these crazy connections of just bringing people in and how he was working in their hearts. And so I'll propose to us as a church, if we want to see the 100 plus multiplying churches and our part in that, I think if we keep fasting and prayer like central, the first thing that we do, and then we're simply obedient, being led by God's Spirit of what he wants us to do next, what Jesus says is true. He builds his church. He will build it. I think he's just looking for people who are willing to stand with him as he does that with us and through us. So today's a pretty historic day in Enrich. We're sending our first two church planting teams, and we're excited. And there's been a lot of preparation in terms of the past year and past season together. A lot of us did some fasting and praying this week. We met up on Friday night and prayed for quite a while for the teams. And now it gets to happen. Now we get to send our first teams. And what it'll look like for us, at least this time, is we're going to pray over the teams. And then we're going to anoint them with oil. Symbolically, oil simply represents anointing. It represents the Holy Spirit, just a physical symbol of a spiritual reality. And then we'll say, see you next time. Because not like say, see you later. Like, I'm sure we'll have some type of like gathering, like a barbecue at someone's house or like another camping trip, or we'll meet up halfway one time at another park. So we don't have to get a permit. We just show up there and they'll be like, all right, we're going to eat and take off. Right. And then we'll see all these people begin to join Jesus's movement to see more people saved and baptized and become disciple makers to reach Southern California. So with that said, this is the shortest message, guys. This is 18 minutes right here. It's on a timer that I've ever done. So we're going to pray. So I'm going to pause this thing.